Proverbs, the 24th chapter, verse 16. Probably, I say this and then things don't work out the way I planned, but I probably won't keep you too awfully long. Hope it won't be too awful. Proverbs, the 24th chapter and the 16th verse. We want to call this Get Up and Start Again. Get up and start again. And how many of you have ever been down? Tripped up, fell? Somebody's come up for prayer a while ago and said, I fell off my porch yesterday. So you know what it means to fall and have to get up again. And every one of us have fallen. Maybe not fallen into mischief, but, you know, had some instances where it felt like we was just down, you know, and needed something to pick us up. So let's read Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." I won't stop right there, but it says, in NIV says it like this, "For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again." The New Living Translation says, "They may trip seven times, but each time they rise again." English, EDB, whatever that stands for, I've looked it up somewhere, and says, "A good man may be bothered by trouble seven times, but he does not give up." So as Christians, we don't give up. There was a story about a trapeze artist, and here's how he described learning his trade. He said, "It takes repeated falls to convince you that the net will hold you. But once you know that, you forget about falling and concentrate on learning. When that happens, you fall less, you risk more, and you learn more." We need to understand we have a safety net. His name is Jesus. Though you may fall, he'll catch you. He'll catch you. And so we need to do that. So don't be afraid of blowing it. You ever felt like you blew it? I agree with that one right there every day. I feel like I blow it every day. I do something I shouldn't do, or give my wife a look I shouldn't give her, or expression or a sigh in the wrong time and the wrong place, and then other things. And anyway, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Yeah, the Bible says, "Rejoice with the wife of your youth." And so anyway, don't be afraid. You cannot succeed without going through some failures. And even if you could, you wouldn't have nothing to share with those who can't. I mean, if you fail, through your failure, you can learn to help others. You can use that as a learning, a teaching tool. Amen? 1978, a man named Bernie Marcus, and he was a son of a Russian cabinet maker in Newark, New Jersey. Well, he got fired from his job at Handy Dan, a do-it-yourself hardware store. Instead of giving up, he teamed up with a friend, and they started their own hardware store. The first store was in Atlanta, Georgia. And it was called the Home Depot. And today, they have probably over 1,000 stores and at least 175,000 employees. I don't shop with them, by the way, but they did. It is a good tool to use here today. He did succeed. I don't shop with them because of some of their policies concerning some things that the Bible is against. And so you can just find out about that later. They have over $30 million a year in sales. That's after he got fired in 1978, not that many years ago. Now, I doubt if Marcus enjoyed getting fired. I don't think any of us enjoy losing a job or being laid off or fired or, you know, being told you're not good enough or not enough money to pay you or whatever. But look what's happened. What would have happened if he hadn't gotten fired? He would have missed out. He's a multimillionaire today because they fired him. Just think what would happen to that store if they would have promoted him and used his talents for themselves. They might have been the Home Depot today, and he's still been their employee. Come on now. but to use that. You can also talk about Colonel Harlan Sanders. And I don't have that story written down, but you all know the story. He's up in his 70s. He had failed at everything he'd ever tried in his whole life. Hadn't been successful at nothing, but all the, one day he decided to use, I think it was his mother's chicken recipe. Mix up all these spices and herbs. Put them on fried chicken. That man died a millionaire. Because you know why? Because he didn't give up. He finally succeeded at something. That tells you it doesn't matter what your age, God can still use you. Don't give up. Amen? So there's all kinds of comeback stories in the Bible. You can hear about Peter and Jonah and Ruth and David and a whole lot of others. And so it doesn't matter how bad you fail, God will. When you come back to God, God's going to do something with you. And so we want to talk about this today. In Hannah's great prayer in 1 Samuel 2 and 4, she said, "Those who stumble are armed with strength." Those who stumble are armed with strength. Now this woman, you know how disillusioned with life she was. I mean, she just, you know, in those days, if you didn't have a child, you just wasn't a woman, you just wasn't nothing. And so she prayed and prayed and prayed, and God finally gave her a child. But when she got through praying, she said, "God, if you'll give me a son, I'll dedicate him back to you." And she gave him, at 2 years of age, she took him to the temple and gave him to a priest. Said, "Raise my boy in the house of God." And she visited him every year, but she left him there to be raised by that priest. And you know the story of Samuel, great prophet of God. So we need to understand some things. In Psalms 34:17, and I'm going to get into the meat of this in a minute. I don't know if I'll rant and rave today or not, just talk to you a little bit. But the righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivereth them out of their troubles. The righteous cries, and the Lord hears, and delivereth them out of their troubles. We need to understand, we need to get some of this into our heart. Sometimes we're saying things the Bible doesn't say about us, and we're snared by the words of our own mouth. I know that lady talked about that last weekend in the ladies' retreat, but we're snared by our own mouths because we don't say what God says concerning us. We fall and we say, "Well, I knew that was going to happen." We fall and say, "Well, I'll never amount to anything. I never can do anything right." When the Bible says the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivereth them out of them troubles. Instead, we're kind of like a hee-haw group of people. Some of you older folks know what I'm talking about, and some of you younger ones will too, because I've said it before here. But there's that old song on there. It's called "Gloom and Despair and Agony on Me. Deep, dark depression and excessive misery. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and misery on me." And they'd sing that song and all that stuff, you know, and people just laugh about it and hee-haw about that. But you know what? The church has grasped hold of that and seemed like we don't understand it. If God be for us, there's nothing can be against us, and there's no weapon formed against us can prosper. And we need to understand that it's not gloom and despair all the time, but when we go through these trials and tribulations and temptations and problems, we need to understand that if we fall, that if we stumble, we are armed with strength from above. Amen. Amen. Instead, we cry out. We don't think the Lord hears. So, let's look at this. A just man rises up again. A just man rises up again. And so everyone has faced adversity at one time or another, and you're going to face it again. You may be just ready for a miracle, but you might face something again tomorrow that you might have faced before, or there may be a new problem to crop up tomorrow that you never faced before. We all face adversity at one time or another in our life, and you need to understand, if you live very long, you're going to have problems. Car's going to break down. Lightning's going to strike your house. You're going to get in an argument with your wife. Your children are going to act up. Might lose your job. Any number of things. Finance company may declare that you're going to pay all your payments up at one time. I don't know what all goes on in people's lives, but I know this: if adversity is a part of life, and it's not going to be smooth sailing all the time. There's bumps in the road. It just happens. That's part of life. And you need to understand that just because you're going through some type of adversity doesn't mean that God has forsaken you. Doesn't mean that you're a sinner. The Word actually says He rains on the just and the unjust alike. When it rained this week and we all needed rain, who all got the rain? Well, your neighbor, if you got some good rain at your house and your neighbor next door is not a Christian, I doubt that it just rained right on your garden and didn't rain on his garden. Right? It rained on his grass the same as it did yours. So we all get, you know, there's seed time and harvest, and there's blessings like that that come, this nature, natural things that happen in nature, and it blesses all of us. Doesn't matter whether you're a good man or not. You can't say, well, I got rain because I'm a Christian. No, you got rain because God decided to rain on the earth that day. Hey, by the way, did you see the rainbow yesterday? That's the most beautiful rainbow I'd ever seen in my life. Most vivid colors. That's beautiful. Just beautiful things that God shows us. So we're all going to have adversity, and we're all going to face trials and setbacks, and they're going to occur all through our lifetime. Just when you think things are really going your way, you may have a setback. It just happens that way sometimes. It's just part of life, and you need to understand that. But the righteous have the potential to snap back or bounce back every time because God's grace lifts them up. I don't have to stay down. I can get up. Because if I stumble, I'm going to rise again. If I stumble 1,000 times, actually the Word says 7 times, but I can stumble once a year or once a day, and because I'm a righteous man, I can rise up again, and I can still put my hope, and I can put my faith in God. And He's still going to be there for me. I've questioned life at times. There's all of us have questioned things at different times and questioned why we're going through this or why this would happen to us or why this doesn't happen and why do they seem to have all the blessings and why does it seem like everything goes right for everybody else? Well, I'm going to tell you something, church. You need to quit wondering why and start realizing that that God is on your side and He is the one that lifts you up. Trust God. He's going to bring you through it. Proverbs 24 verse 10 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Can I say it like this? If you faint in the day of adversity, your faith is small. You have little hope. My faith and hope is in God. And that's why I can just keep on keeping on even when I face a trial. Preacher, don't you ever get discouraged? Well, yeah, I get discouraged every now and then, but I talk my way through it. I pray my way through it. I study my way through it. I just keep walking. That old song, we'll keep walking in the light of the Lord. I'll get to heaven someday if I walk the right way, walking in the light of the Lord. So I'll just keep walking. I'll keep believing. I'll keep trusting. I may be going through a trial, but I'm going to keep believing God. It may not be going the way I want it to, but I'm going to understand that if I faint in the day of adversity, I don't have very much strength. The one version says, if you fail under pressure, your strength is not very great. Church, there's going to be pressure. Sometimes you're going to feel like you're actually in a pressure cooker. Feel like you're about to explode. But God's for you. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to let you down. And as you go through these things, you're going to learn about the trying of your faith. So trouble and distress comes to everybody sometime in their life. Look at James chapter 1, verse 4. Go back the other direction. James chapter 1, verse 4. Well, let me back up to verses 2 through 4, excuse me. It says this, my brethren. Now, who's he talking to when he says my brethren? He's talking to the church. Those have been blood-bought, mercy sought, born again. That's who he's talking to, the church, the redeemed. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That doesn't mean enticements to sin, but trials, persecution, and afflictions from the world of Satan. Count it all joy when Satan comes against you. What? That ain't right. You can tell God it ain't right all you want to tell God it ain't right, but His Word says count it all joy when Satan begins to buffet you, when Satan brings things against you, when Satan's all around you and he seems like he's winning the war. The Bible says count it all joy. What? Well, I don't feel joyful, Pastor. I don't feel very happy in this journey when Satan's buffeting me. Well, God's building your faith. These things are designed to build spiritual maturity and should be counted as joy. These afflictions sometime, we got to meet them with joy. They're going to develop patience, perseverance, endurance. And we can only reach maturity when we go through these difficulties with opposition. They're just a trying of your faith. These are designed, like I said, to produce maturity. They're not worldly, temporary happiness, but spiritual, enduring, complete joy in the Lord who is sovereign over all things. It's not a temporary happiness that you're getting. Because see, I'm going to tell you something, church. Most of the time we're happy when this flesh is happy. But the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, is something that comes up from the inside of you, your spiritual man. And the outward man may be going through all kinds of trials and afflictions and persecutions. It might be health. It might be finance. It could be relationship. It could be any number of things. But you're going through them. You're facing them. But inside, you're just saying, I rejoice in the Lord. I'm rejoicing in the strength of His might. I'm going through this trial. But I know my faith being tested. And I know that I'm beginning to grow in the Lord spiritually. And I'm going to keep trucking. I'm going to keep on keeping on, and there's no weapon going to stop me. There's nothing can stop me what I'm doing right now. I'm just going to keep trusting God. Amen. And you need to understand that. They are gifts. You don't like these kind of gifts, but they're a gift to help your spiritual, make our spiritual pilgrimage complete. You need to learn how to be strong in the Lord. You need to learn how to trust God. You need to learn how to put your faith in God. The taste testing of our faith defines the meaning of a trial for a Christian. The trying of your faith. We go through things sometimes that tries our faith. But you got to learn just to trust God. I've been doing this a long time now. Over 40 years. Pastoring you got this church for 25, and I've learned to endure a few things as a soldier. You just go through them and you endure them, and you know that there's victory on the other side. And actually, there's victory right in the midst of the storm, right in the midst of the trial. There's victory. You know, you can sing that old song, "Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever," and just trust God. You got to learn to do that, church. There's a trial, so we must be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We have to look, we must look to Him for as our refuge. God is, I love that song, don't you? God is my refuge and my strength. Without Him, what would I do? He's my refuge. He's my strength. You can't make it without Him. Deuteronomy 33:27 actually says this. It says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them." Come on now, do you see what, is that what it says? Destroy them. Not you, the enemy. That one who's coming against you. But you are under His everlasting arms. He thrust out the enemy before you and says, kill him. Kill him. Not you, but the enemy. Isn't that something? God says, I'm for you. So we have to call on Him in confidence. Stop this wishy-washy praying. I might get a little trouble here. You know what? Some of the reasons some of you can't go through a trial, some of you can't face affliction, some of you just always, you know why? Because you ain't praying. You ain't reading the Word of God. So you don't know what it says about you. And so you're not praying, the Holy Spirit can't speak to you. Yeah, He can speak to you, but you understand what I'm saying? He can't speak to you when you're in your deepest trial. He's not speaking to you because you're not approaching the throne of grace, and you're trying to walk through it on your own, and you're trying to figure it out in your mind, and your flesh is just so disturbed, and there's no happiness because there ain't no joy, and you just trying to do it all on your own. That's why you're struggling. You got to learn to let God have it. You got to learn that His Word says that He is your refuge, and underneath is His everlasting. You're underneath His arms, and He thrust out the enemy before you. And instead, some of us say, "I see my enemy." You don't put on the armor of God. You don't take the sword of the Spirit. Come on, your belt's not girt about with truth. You don't have on the breastplate of righteousness. You don't have none of that stuff on. Then you get in trouble. When God wants to do it, He wants to bring you through. Church, I keep telling you, He wants you to live victorious. You are overcomers, every one of you. So call on Him in confidence. He'll never leave you. No matter how limited our earthly possessions or how trying our circumstances, we don't have to fear that God will desert us or forsake us. Some of you facing financial difficulty today. Can I ask you a question? Don't answer it out loud. Just think about it. You're going through a financial problem. Did God create that, or did you create that? I said don't answer it out loud. That's something I want you to think about. I've never had a financial problem that I didn't create. Now, I know we go through some things sometimes that's trying our faith, and maybe we make some bad business decisions, and we go through some things. But even through those, I've always noticed if I'll put God first and I keep on giving and I keep tithing, God brings me out on the other side. He don't totally remove it all at once, but He helps me make the money, and He helps me keep a job, and then I end up paying things, and I get ahead again because God comes through for me because I trusted Him with my finance. Preacher, you are meddling. I hope I am. It's my birthday. I can meddle today. Well, my birthday is not till Tuesday, but I'm going to meddle today. Y'all be over it by Tuesday. No, folks, we got to trust God with every area of our life. Then thirdly, a just man rises. A just man rises. 2 Corinthians 4:16, if you'll turn there with me, it says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction..." Now this is Paul talking, who's been shipwrecked, snake bit, stoned, run out of he said shipwrecked more than once. He's been run out of several towns. They throw rocks at him. He's been in prison two or three times. And he's writing this. He's had every person, the church has been after him, and the world's been after him. Friends have forsaken him. And he says, For this light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we look at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, we highlight the temporal. We highlight the things that we see. When God is looking at the eternal, that's what He's concerned about, is your eternal soul. Do you say, well, doesn't He care about the here and now? Yes, He does. But He puts more value on your eternal soul than He does what you're wearing today or what you're living in, or the car you're driving. He puts more value in your eternal well-being than He does this temporary well-being. My old preacher, old L.R. Hurst, and he'd say this a lot, but he'd get to preaching, and he said, you know, I'd rather live in a tent. Now, he never did, as far as I know, but I'd rather live in a tent with no running water and go to heaven as to have a mansion and lose my soul. That ain't exact words, but that was the context of it. He'd say it more than once. We need to understand that this life is temporary. We put too much value on the temporary and not enough value on the eternal. But God's going to bring you through the temporary and help you mature in Him if you'll stay faithful. He's going to meet and supply your needs. We preach that all the time. We experience that all the time. We know it's a fact. God does bless His people. But folks, we've got to get our minds on God. We're too caught up in life. The temporary life. I sat next to a gentleman yesterday at a meeting. 84 years old, 85 years old. We was just talking. He's an old friend, and we was talking for a few minutes, and he goes, Dennis, we was talking about electric bills. That's where we was at, electric meeting and co-op meeting. And he said, and I told him how my electric bill's pretty cheap, but I had a heat pump. He says, you know, Dennis, now, he's an old Christian. He's a Baptist man. And he said, I'm 85. I'm not going to invest in a heat pump. I'd never get enough benefit out of it because I won't be here that much longer. He's already set his mind on things above. He's already determined that one of these days I'm going home. But there's a lot of people his age. He's had two strokes recently, and he knows he's not long for this world. There's a lot of people just like him, could be in one of those motorized wheelchairs, would still be saying, I'm going to put a heat pump in my house next week, and because I'm going to save electric money, and I'm going to put some more money in the bank, and I'm going to save it up because I might need it. I'm going to tear my barn down, build me a bigger one. But he's saying, no, my life's over. My temporary life's about over, and I'm looking forward to the eternal. Church, that needs to be our attitude, even if you're just a teenager today, is that this life is temporary, and I'm making preparations for my eternal life, and God's going to take care of me in this life, but I'm making preparations for the next life, my eternal life, which is forever. So we face these things. A Christian is nothing but an earthen vessel. You're made up, if you look at the content of a body, we're mostly dirt. We're dust. It's what the Bible says we were made of, from the dust of the earth. God created man. And the contents of a man, if I'm not right, we've got a lot of minerals in us and a lot of water and it don't take, if once you die, it don't take long for you not to be there no more. Well, it don't. You know? You fade away. But your eternal lives on. But we have heavenly treasures within, and we're not defeated. We're not defeated. Look at Romans 8:35, and I'm going to get ready to close. I won't go back to 31, just read it to you. Romans 8:31, read down through 39, read to the end of the chapter. What shall we say? This is Paul's writing to the church at Rome. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? When you're going through something, instead of getting down and out and whining, why don't you quote that? Well, I'm going through this, but if God be for me, who can be against me? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, no, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You need to quote that once in a while when you're going through something. Wait, hold on just a minute here. This is not my life. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you fail in your spiritual life, it won't be because God forsook you. It won't be because some overwhelming external force, but because of your own neglect. Because God is for you. And he says in his word, nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. By God's grace, you can have breakthrough. By God's grace, you can rise up. Amen. Amen. His grace is immeasurable. His mercy inexhaustible. His peace inexpressible. God's voice steals you. Satan's voice will rush you. God's voice leads you. Satan's voice will push you. God's voice will reassure you. Satan's voice will frighten you. God's voice enlightens you. Satan's voice confuses you. God's voice encourages you. Satan's voice discourages you. God's voice comforts you, but Satan's voice will worry you. God's voice calms you, but Satan's voice will obsess you. God's voice will convict you. Satan's voice will condemn you. Think about that for a little bit. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. You are more than conquerors today. It's time for you and I to understand that this adversity is going to build us up into more spiritual, mature people. Amen. It's time to get up. If you've fallen, you've gotten discouraged, it's time to get up and start again. Get up and start again. If you fall seven times, get up seven times and start again. Well, I've already fulfilled my quota, Pastor. Well, I'm saying put you another number down and start over at one and get up again. You fall, get up at number two, start again. If you do it a third time, get up, start over. Trust God. He'll bring you through it. Amen. Give him praise in the house. Amen. Praise God. I want you to stand with me.